Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Oversharon Show, the best darn show on the internet. You guys know it because you watch it. I'd like to give a big shout out to everyone here who's watching in the chat. We premiere these every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. and we hang out and we're in the chat. So join us if you're not here now and you're listening sometime in the future. We have a guest today, but we're going to get into that. But first, I'm going to read the quote that I have. And today's quote is from the Holy Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the of a..." this part's a little confusing. In the which...
Who's the witch?
Yeah, I know. It's a different witch, though. It's a like... Which one?
I know.
"In the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat."
Genesis 1:29, you said?
Yeah.
I think that's one of Adam's favorite quotes in the Bible.
I love it. I remember, I think the first time I heard it was on a Cypress Hill album. There was like a guy in the background, like as a preacher, and he's like, "I've given you every herb and bearing seed to," you know, they're trying to say that weed should be legal because it's in the Bible kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Though I did go through a hardcore born again Christian upbringing, they never talk about that part. Anyway, Sharon.
I was going to say, like, Adam likes that. Our friend Adam likes that quote because he read the book by, I think it was G. Edward Griffin, the guy who wrote The Island of Jekyll Hyde. What was that? Sorry. One of those, whatever that book is. Jekyll Island, whatever.
The Creature of Jekyll Island.
Yeah, that one. And he wrote another book about seeds, like, and how like seed oils are very healthy for you and they can cure cancer. So Adam
allegedly
really
YouTube, we're just kidding.
Allegedly, right? Yeah. I mean, we don't know G. Edward Griffin. I mean, I don't know him.
I actually almost got to interview G. Edward Griffin in 2020. And the funny thing is, as he kind of like, he was, I guess you could say I had him on a pedestal. And as that was crashing down, then I also kind of just lost interest and moved away from trying to be in an interview with him. But yeah, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that guy, but I don't know. I just, different things were being important at the time and I didn't really care about the "they and they're coming to get us," you know. It was funny.
Right. You started losing that.
Yeah.
The victim mentality.
I guess that's what it was.
Yeah. All right. I'm pulling a card from the what?
Ooh, the Rider-Waite. I love it. Well, let me put you on main focus so everyone can see you. There we go. Oh, judgment. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny because we were just talking about Genesis and then judgment's like the polar opposite, which would be like Revelation. I like it.
Nice. It's
a really good card. Yes, that's kind of explains the situation I went through right before the G. Edward Griffin interview thing. Mm-hmm. I woke up to things that were different and better and had to have a little mini dark night of the soul kind of thing.
A little revelation.
Yeah. I like it.
Sweet.
All right.
Awesome. Well, we have a guest today. This is probably everybody knows him by now. This is Kyle of Herbalist Bear of Tippecanoe Herbs. And I met Kyle in person at the Bear Fest and I bought some cool things. I think I bought the cough syrup, the nail in my coffin. And I started, like, I was gonna sing, right? And I was starting to feel, I don't know if I had a tickle in my throat or what, but my throat was very like, I needed to be able to sing. And so I went over there and I got that. And I was actually trying to get something else that he had given, because I believe you had Where are you located when you live? You're in Louisiana, aren't you? When you're out in the States?
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, why am I? Oh, I'm mixing you up with...
Mixing me up with James from...
James, I'm
Brother
sorry.
Brother Nature Bear from Family Fungi.
Yes. Yes.
We were neighbors at the event.
Yeah, you guys were neighbors, so that's why it was like... Yeah. Okay. But I still was trying to get something from you because you had given Jason Lindgren something that was for his throat. And he said it was like so helpful for singing. But when I went to you, you said you were out. So I was like, shoot. So I bought some other stuff. But yeah, this is Kyle, and he's here to share with us. We're going to overshare on a couple of different things. And right now he's in Italy. So maybe he can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. It's nice to be here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so normally I'm residing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where my abode and domicile and business and life take place. But right now I'm in Bergamo, Italy, and that's where this is the hometown of my wife, Serena. And so we come here. We're here for a month, and just for the holidays, we got a baby that introduced to 1,000 people here, and just chilling and relaxing and really getting in swing of the winter season, which is just like, you know, being low, feeling low energy, taking a break, resting, eating, just being very winter-like here. And it's awesome. It's great. We're in a little village just outside of Bergamo, and the weather's nice, and it's just perfect for the winter compared to where I live in northern part of America, where it's like it's always really cold. So
yeah. That's really awesome. So one of the things that I remember from being at the festival was that I met someone who told me that you had told a story about a tree that was out there. You'd taken everybody on a walk, told them about how this tree takes your negative energy and stuff like that. And that was really fascinating. And I actually went down there to the tree, and I forgot his bear name, but his name's Damien. And he's the one who told us about that. So Brandon and I have talked about trees and stuff before. And it's funny because we had even mentioned maybe on the show, Brandon, do you remember?
Yeah, I think we have. And I think I even proposed my theory that I had in one hike where I think trees are hibernating right now. I think they come more live at a different part of, I think the ecosphere gets different from time to time, vapor canopy maybe, but I don't want anyone to spiral. Not Kyle, I'm just saying listeners. But anyway, I think the trees are different, and right now they're in a hibernation state. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about that as well too. And also how the druids would use the trees to take away their negative energy as well.
Yeah, and like going and hugging a tree, or like intentionally telling the tree your negativity so it can transmute it.
Yeah. So. And you touch it.
Yeah.
The energy of the tree, if you were to like try to map out in the time of year where the energy of the tree is, it makes sense to me that it's like that one or people could consider it hibernated, and or that I could too. And that's because when the ground thaws in, the wintertime, then the maple sap starts to flow. And that's when you go tap your tree, because that's when the energy starts taking from the roots back up and bringing that energy, or the vital force, the blood of the tree up into the leaves. And that's when you get the sap. You don't get the sap in the summertime. You don't get it in the fall. You might get it in the fall because it's coming back down, but in a short window. Whereas in the spring, it's really pumping itself back up, so it's like bringing that energy up, and then it stays up there in the leaves in the summertime, and then they fall, and then all that energy goes right back down deep into the earth, and that energy sleeps. And I think of it kind of that way too. But yeah, okay, so Bear Fest was awesome, wasn't it? Oh my gosh, yeah. It was so awesome. We had a great time. It was awesome to meet you. It was great. So I was vending there. I was posted up at my little vending station, which was awesome because I was hanging out next to James and Elise and their family fungi, and my wife and son were there, and we had our little tent behind, and it was great to have like a station where people could just come and talk to us. And one of the things that I really enjoyed doing was these herb walks throughout the grounds. That I just set up a time, and I would put a little sign up on my booth and say, hey, we're doing an herb walk at, 3 p.m. today. So I was there for 3 or 4 days. So I did 3 or 4 herb walks, and they were all great. They were all awesome. And some of them, there was, 40, 50 bears at at these walks, which was great. And word made it start made it around the camp and stuff like that. I went to a particular tree that was a cedar tree, and it was right next to the oaks, which we were talking about with druids. The druids revered the oak tree as the doorway. In fact, druid does mean is the word for oak, and it also means door, as in like the doorway to another dimension. But we were right next to a cedar as well. So it really had this cool portal energy to it, because there's the oak, there's the cedar, there's the event, there's this higher minded atmosphere, there's all these bears. And one of the things I was talking about with the cedar was the botanical name is Arbor Vitae, which means tree of life. And native populations in North America and all around the world really regard this tree in a vital way, but it doesn't have a lot of physical medicinal qualities. Most of its medicine, I guess you could consider like spiritual or emotional medicine. Wow. And aside from its, textiles and, the building aspects and stuff like that, but it's not like a tree that typically you would make medicine out of and ingest for a particular ailment. But one of these virtues would be being with the tree, sitting next to it, and it has a celebratory, like it clears, it opens up new, it changes a vibration from something that would be, I guess you could consider like negative vibe or something, into something that's more coherent. And so I was talking about that, and so I can't remember the bear's name either, but I do remember exactly what he looks like. And he was going and telling his friend who he did a road trip with, and it was kind of, it was having a bad time the whole trip, and just really negative about stuff, and getting to the festival and was just like, really getting, complaining a lot or something like that. So he's just like, look, you just got to go up to this tree and, this guy just told me, just go up to the tree and just like tell it your problems, and just like let it go. Like let the energy go into this tree, because it's of the supposition that like the trees also not just take in like the carbon dioxide from the air, but they live on other things too that are like opposite to us. And they convert that those substances that can be either measured or not with our tools into life force, right? And so this negative aspect being one of those. And so here's the guy, and he's going up the hill, and he sees the tree, and he's like, there's the tree, go towards it. And I really want to mention his name, but I probably shouldn't. But anyway, he goes up.
I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
he goes up the hill, and he sees the tree, and he starts letting it out, all of his negativity and things that he was been bound up in him. And this is his words, so I'm like recounting. And he said he got the feeling that like the tree was like pulling it out of him.
Oh my God.
And so as he was getting closer and closer and closer, he was becoming louder and more vocal and even more intense and amplified, like really like as if it was like a punching bag, just like really letting it have it. And but he said that it was, but the feeling that he had was like it was like pulling it out of him, like it was pulling. And wow. So that was really cool, because in these walks and stuff, I'm not just like talking about theoretical things that I don't that like I've read about, these are experiences that I have as being an herbalist. But it's so cool when people can have those same exact experiences firsthand right then or shortly after, and then be able to like replay them for me so that I have another, another relationship with a witness to the medicinal powers of this particular tree that we were standing in front of, not just like all of the cedars, but this one in particular, which was cool. So that was really fun. Just as a group of bears going around to all, and then for me, this was in Missouri. This is not my, I mean, it's the Midwest, but it's 9 hours south of me. So there was some plants that I'm not familiar with, and there were some things that I am familiar with. But one of the great things about that was being able to lead multiple classes and talk about different plants every day for a couple hours because I am so familiar with these plants as if they're friends, as if they have I have a strong relationship with them. I can recognize some of them and I can, work with them and they can offer their medicine or they can just offer their lessons, which was what that was all about. So that was cool. This is a working with medicine that you don't even have to harvest or extract or injure the tree, you're just yelling at it. It becomes medicinal. So I love that because that just sets up a whole field of study of, how, we commodify a lot of things, but there are so many things that are sacred and healing that absolutely cannot be commodified. And that was a great example of that.
Oh, I love that. And really quickly, I wanted to ask before I forgot, is there a way to select a certain tree? Because you said it was this cedar, not the others. Do you have a way that you select them or you just kind of let it talk to you or do you have a process?
Well, sometimes I don't know if it's like a voice or a confirmation that's like, stop here. And let's talk about me. And because I had walked around the grounds and I thought, okay, here's all the potential plants that I could talk about. Like I could talk about this. And then the second thing I thought about was like, here are the potential spots that people can gather around. And so it just becomes a kind of a flow state after that, where I'm not really deciding anything based on like what's in the flow. And in that particular moment, the flow was like, let's talk about this one. And, or somebody might ask like, what is this? Or what's that? And then it's just like, oh, okay, well then let's talk about that. But I definitely remember it being like, not on my mind and it just kind of pulling me in. So, that's the great thing about, the way that I like to teach is in the herb walks is being in that flow state, because then I can really feel like it's not just a matter of, reciting things that I've remembered. It's actually, going into what I, the deeper parts of my experience and wisdom with working with the plant as if it is a friend, as if like I'm standing next to my buddy and telling everyone about my buddy. And then there's some memories I might bring up and some I might not, So, yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw something somewhere one time, probably Telegram. I don't know if it was true or not, but like of this concept of like trees almost having like a sentience to them a little bit, like maybe even having the ability to move themselves away from stuff, or I don't know, like what are your thoughts on stuff like that?
I think that they have sentience but not consciousness. Like I think that they're that's what separates like the animal realm from the plant realm is consciousness. Okay. But they do have sentience, so it is kind of like an unconscious state, or like they communicating in a dream time kind of fashion. Mm. And that their nervous system is fixed and our nervous system is mobile. Like we have our brains up here and we can like move around in the world and become injured, but their brain is interacted and intertwined with the earth. And so they're seated there and that's where they have to do that. But their interactions are through, the etheric ways of, what's above the ground. So maybe, some people could say like, but the way that the pheromones that they release, if we wanted to actually like be reductionist and talk about like what could be quantified, we could say tree is releasing these pheromones because this locust is eating it, for example, or something like that, or this grass is. And so there becomes fields of study where they measure the chemical changes in plants and they are immediate though. And so it's kind of weird to me and this is where I really like the work of like Tom Cowan and all these people and Topher Gardner. They talk a lot about how the atomic theories don't really make sense when you're talking about like molecules that had that have to run through
that
the
episode,
course of the
you?
Organism in order to change. And so if you have an organism like an oak tree that has to change its chemical composition, and they can measure it changing its chemical composition instantly based off of the sensory input from whatever else is happening in the environment, and who knows how far that input can be, that it doesn't really make sense that there's like molecules, that there's something, I mean, that those are the things informing it. So I think it's really, really interesting. I think that it has a lot to do with structuring of the water and how the trees structure the water of themselves, of the land, and how they hold that structure in an array, like an antenna, which is really, this is really interesting to me, because I think about that when I sit under certain trees, the shade that they produce can be beneficial to the mind or painful to the mind in certain cases. And I think the cedar is one that is like, that's why, you know, cedar grows in the swamps, and it grows in places where, you know, things you might not want to go, you know, or like you might associate with like places where like Gollum would be found or something like that. You
know? Wow. I didn't know that. And it makes me, all that you were talking about, before I say that, I just want to say, I know, I can tell you heard Topher's episode with Dr. Tom Cowan. That was good.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want to lose my train of thought. What it made me think of was what you were talking about is mycelium and mushrooms, and how they too can also, they speak to each other, and maybe to the trees as well through I don't know, the mycelium under the ground to the roots, etc. And aren't there varieties of mushrooms that, and I don't know if it's all mushrooms or some mushrooms, but they'll just take things that are toxic and like transmute them and like make the ground fertile again and free of all these alleged terrible substances that man has put in the ground, etc. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's definitely proven. But they also, I would just say that they have, that's their archetypical role as like the regenerator in general. So whether it's quote unquote man-made stuff, or whether it's just regenerating a tree that falls in the woods that no one's around to hear, you know, that they break down. That's what the mycelial role is. And then distributing those, that information and the nutrition under the ground, through the soil, and into the network that it's connected to, which is involved in all of the nervous system that's under the ground. So our brains are up here, trees' brains are in the ground, and they're getting all of that nervous system input from the internet, I guess. And that's the real internet, which is the mycelial connection, and not this fake stuff.
Yeah. This is all fake, everybody.
Or I should say
virtual,
you know, counterfeit stuff.
Yeah, counterfeit. Hey, that's a good one. Yeah. A man-made version, shall we say, dare we say. So usually on the show, like when we've had somebody on that we haven't yet had on the show, and we want to hear about kind of their story, their spiritual journey, and maybe their cosmology and how they've arrived to it. I'll just say this real quick. When I started hearing Topher's podcast, I just was like, he wants to do the same thing that I've been wanting to, like, we do this all the time, Brennan and I, when we have someone new on the show, we ask them about their spiritual journey. So I feel like when Topher said that, I was like, that's exactly what we do too. I love this. So I love that he's doing that and asking people that their cosmology. So, you know, please do share on and overshare.
Thanks. Okay, cool. So yeah, it's a cool question, because it's like, it's very general, and where can one go? And it's also kind of pressing too, because I think a lot of people, at least people that most people that I like see in the world maybe not even consider these types of things. And I think it's a really important thing to consider, like the entire picture. And so I don't know if I have And I would say that's something that I'm always working on. I'm always working on like improving the resolution of that picture, because there's some parts that are really fuzzy. There's some threads that are pulling me in certain ways. There's some threads that are terminated, which I say, okay, it's not that. and I'm always refining how I see the world. And so I guess that would be my caveat, which would be like, it's so beautiful and amazing that I'm very interested in exploring. And without getting too like into the nihilist point of view, which is like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know anything. I mean, there's some things I certainly know, but I would say Chance, I was just talking with Chance and the crew on Vibrant. We're doing this Vibrant series on the astrology and herbalism and connection and things like that.
Yeah.
And he used this word that was what did he say? But your bio cosmology. And so that's something that resonated with me, because that's something that I'm more considering, as opposed to like the greater. I'm starting to think more about the inner space, because I know that I do accept the Hermetic principles, all seven of them. And so that's one big indicator for my cosmology. And so as above, so below. So if I explore within, it's the wintertime, it seems a little bit more natural for me to do that. Then I'm starting to see bigger pictures of what's out. And so I'm really starting to think a lot of things are clicking for me in my biocosmology of the terrain, you know, the refutation of the germ, the amazing potential that water holds as a superconductor, as the ability to structure into something like a brain, or something like a liver, or something like a fingernail. Like all of these, the potential for water to change into all of these things, and then back into water again, and then maintain its memories, maintain its connectiveness with everything. So the question of like the one and the many comes to mind. So who am I? I'm a man. I am that I am, but I'm also breathing in the same air that you know many other people are, and expelling it. I'm here. I am halfway around the world, and maybe one of these days that air will hit you. But maybe it's more likely to be something like etheric potential that actually has a influence on physiology and biology, rather than like the atomic H2O that, you know, moves from Italy to where you are. So I really enjoy that. I also, I read scriptures a lot. I read the Bible. I really have come back to it recently through my studies in law and my interest to just explore who am I, like what am I as a man, as a living person, and finding a lot of the guidepost for that in scripture through poetic form, as a way of taking something poetically and then putting it into prose and signing it with my signature. I think that's really fun. That's something that I've really been exploring a lot lately. And so that's really affected my cosmology and spirituality. And I think that when I started doing stuff like that, I started realizing a lot more about my relationship with the creator and the creation. So having everything that I see in nature as a gift from the creator, that's what I regard it as. I'm extremely grateful that way. I see a lot of abundance. I see overabundance. I don't see scarcity. I see the potential for healing and also for regeneration and death at the same time. And I think it's really beautiful. And I don't know. I feel like you got to rein me in on some of this. Like, I might go out there, you know, I don't know. I might go from within to without pretty quickly. One of the things that I really like lately, like I said, is studying the astrological aspects with herbs. And so I'm seeing a lot of really fun play. Like, this is my study. This is kind of like, I've been called to this kind of study, which is like playing around with the sky clock patterns that are in the sky, which I accept as, like, you know, also part of a creation, and not to make claims about what it is exactly, but you know, twinkle twinkle little star, how I wonder what you are. But like how a particular frequency can influence the subtle, can influence the gross, and how, you know, astrology can influence the mood or behavior, but also can influence like how a flower is shaped, and what domain a particular plant can fall under in according to the archetypes of what's in the sky. So that's really, really interesting to me, because that just keeps playing back and forth with the micro and the macro, as above, so below, and then also really timing it down to the season and to the point of which that energy, let's say like Capricorn or Aquarius, is amplified into the plants, and what expressions that would also bring, not just in the plant, but also in health. And so seeing those reflective traits within the, you know, a person or an individual or a group of people, or you know, things like that. So it's just really fun to explore the whole question of cosmology. I love it. Yeah,
that's awesome. And it's funny that, you know, Brandon hasn't read a scripture from the Bible in a long time, like in a while. I don't remember the last time he did.
Oh, for the show? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Quote, yeah.
So when, like, that's totally synced, I think.
That, yeah, you've, for sure,
been looking back into that.
Yeah. And I love how you're looking into it because of law, because we had Adam on recently, Plasma Bear, and he's really into the law, and he follows Kurt Kallenbach really heavily. And in a conversation we were having, I had this kind of epiphany, and I was like, what if all, you know, we hear about like the Catholics and the Romans, and it was Roman Catholic, and then you had the Protestants break off, and then there was like the Martin Luther Revolution and all these different religions breaking off, or what if it wasn't about belief, but what if it was about law? You know, these group of people, maybe they translated the Bible in a way and they saw, wait a minute, this is supposed to be the law and how we're supposed to have it ordered, and that you guys don't have it right, this is how we want it, you know. And it comes down to us as petty religious and belief squabblings, but what if it was really just about how people wanted to live their life and have the freedom and stuff? You know, it's really interesting.
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially because, I mean, that would explain like the migration to, you know, the quote unquote new world from, you know, Cornwall, which is my descendant, or my ancestors came from that. And I think they set up the first Methodist church. My great, 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 great grandfather Denton set up the first Methodist church in like the settlement of Plymouth back in the whatever days. And so I think that has a lot to do with that too. Like just knowing, trying to break away from the dogmatic positions of, no, your standing is of, you know, of our leaders, what our leaders say, and you know, me being an individual saying like, oh, like actually I'm starting to become more interested in this through my self inquiry and seeing that through the ages too. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially considering like the differences between, you know, a Germanic society and, you know, a Roman Catholic or something like that. So in the case of Martin Luther, that's really cool. That's a great insight.
Thank you. Yeah, I should look into it further. Go ahead, Sharon.
I was just going to ask, so your ancestors are, you know, English, but they arrived in Plymouth. So tell us a little bit about like where you were born, where you grew up, like how was like childhood for you? Were you raised very strictly, or were you were you in a religious church or something like that? How'd you grow up?
So I was born in Indiana in a place called Tippecanoe County.
And that's why.
I have a herb company called Tippecanoe Herbs, and that's the reason why. And I didn't live there very long. I moved to Texas, Southern Texas when I was a little kid, and then Northern Texas shortly, you know, like when I was 10. And then we just moved around a lot. And when I was growing up, my dad then moved us up to Northern Wisconsin in Superior, which is on Lake Superior. So like probably like one of the farthest like climate differences from Texas. And it was there that I really kind of grew up and came into my adult self. And that was a great place, I think, for that time, because it's not a city. It's a port in the middle of the closest metropolitan city is Minneapolis, and that was like 3 hours away. So it's like way the heck up there. And so we're surrounded by a lot of lakes and rivers and nature. And if you wanted to like hang out or party or do something with your friends, you're like in the woods or on Lake Superior or something like that. So it gave me a opportunity to find a great appreciation for using my imagination in nature. And we grew up Catholic, I guess, Catholic-ish, which is, you know, like, which to me was more like, a title rather than something I felt connected to. In fact, when my friends and I would go to like CCD on Wednesday nights, we were like 16, and we would like, we were given like a Bible verse to like go study, and then we would go sneak away. And we would actually go up to the bell tower of the church and like smoke cigarettes and not study the verse and come back down. And like, we were like punk rockers, and we would come back down and just like pick fights with the other people's point of views, you know, instead of just to be like
contentious
little 16-year-old assholes, you know, because that's what it was. I didn't have any reverence for it. It wasn't like. It was like something that I had to do kind of, you know, and that I rebelled against because I wasn't, instilled from a young age to have like, which was something that I don't know, appreciate or don't, but I mean, if I had a different upbringing with Christianity, I don't know if I'd come back to the point of view that I have now, which is right. Like looking at things through the point of view of the law. So I guess I am kind of appreciative of it. But it did, one of the things that it did give me was an insatiable like thirst for what's really true spiritually. Like ever since I was a young person, I was always like questioning, you know, the Trinity stuff, or I remember things like that, which is like, you know, so it just doesn't make sense to me. And the answers right. that I would get also didn't jive for me as a young kid. Like their answers were just like, just because you don't understand, or we told that's just the way it is, or you'll understand
someday. It has to be spiritually revealed to you.
Yeah, exactly. And or things like that, or even like a dogmatic answer, which was like, it's like, just because we say so,
it is what it is.
Yeah. And I was just like, no, it's not. I don't get that. And so when I was 17 years old, I moved out of my mom's house, and she moved back to Indiana, and I stayed up in Northern Superior, Wisconsin, and I got an apartment. And so I'm like 600 miles away from my parents, and I'm on my own, and I'm 17, and I finished high school early. So I am like the cool apartment that people can like drink at and smoke at and stuff like that. And it was like for a young man, it was like, it was probably like something that, like, you know, looking back, was not good for my spiritual growth, but it was
like everything you went through was for your spiritual growth.
Oh, and yeah. Okay. Like, so I accept that too.
You grew up fast, which is good because like you matured quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I had to actually, I was taking care of my brother who was a year younger than me and paying rent and making sure he got to school on time and, you know, all this stuff.
Wow.
And then, so, you know, just living like a very hectic life, drinking all the time, smoking and stuff. And then I was like 18 and the Mormon missionaries knocked on my door. And I was like, they were also like 18 or 19 years old. So I could like kind of see a little eye to eye. I could see like a reflection of some sort in them, in me, you know, cause I'm like, you know, disheveled, you know, beer breath, you know, 19 year old and 18 year old, and they're well put together, you know, ties and stuff and very polite. And because I really enjoy talking to people, and because I really enjoy also other people's cosmologies and discussing these things, and also having the given the courage to challenge people from these CCD classes, I would invite them in and we would talk, and they would talk to me about the Mormon Book of Mormon and stuff, and they started making a lot of sense to me. And their basic argument came down to like my connection with the Catholic Church, which was like, okay, so if there's a true church, the Catholics say that it's that they stand on Peter's rock, but we say we stand on, you know, wouldn't you agree that like in a legal sense that like who has more eligibility for what's a true church of Christ? And I was like, yeah, that kind of does make sense now that you put it that way. And so I started going to the church more and more. And actually, have you ever heard of the band Low? Do you know that band Low? Mm-mm. Kind of a popular band. They're from Duluth. And they're
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, L-O-W,
yeah. They're pretty big name band, alternative band, but their front lead singer guy, his name's Alan, or Brother Sparhawk. He's a Mormon. He would give me a ride to the church. And so I was like bringing, you know, finding like a older kind of like, not father figure, but like brother, older male, like, influence that was cool, that I looked up to as like a cool dude that was like, you know, a really cool rock star guy, but also like a church guy. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And so I after a lot of, I don't know, about a year and a half of pressure, the Mormons come in and they're like, can we please baptize you? And I was like, all right, let's do it. And so I did it. And then about a few months after that, or actually a few weeks after that, there was this guy that came up to me and he was like, he's like, you want to really know about the church? He's like, holds up his hand and he's got this like big, huge red ring, this like red ruby ring. He's like, this is the real deal. And the missionaries are behind him. They're like, no, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. And it's got like the square and the compass on it and the big G. And it's just like, he's like, this is the real deal. And I'm like, oh, really? What's that? You know? And so, and they're like, and I'm like, why shouldn't I listen? And they couldn't give me a really good answer. And I was like, oh, okay. So there's a loop. There's something I need to explore. And so as I started exploring, the connection with Freemasonry and all this stuff, and then just, having a better grasp on the doctrines, I would just ask more and more questions and an even better doctrine or better grasp on like my own position. Like, you know, like in Mormon cosmology, you can become a god. Right. And I was just like, that doesn't really make sense to me, and trying to make sense. And it just came back full circle to like, we said so, and you just have to, you're not going to understand. You're like, you're not, yeah. You're too dirty to understand and stuff like that. So but I was 19 and I was like, all of the men my age were on missions. And so there was like a lot of, so I had kind of like I was kind of like the star, the young man star of the church. Cause you know, I didn't get brought up in the church and, you know, I had a leather jacket and stuff. So I hung around for a little while just to like, you know, hang out. And then, but not, but in the same irreverent way, you know, and got into Buddhism, got into some other Eastern philosophies that just kept leading me this way and that way and this way and that way. And now I feel a lot more comfortable with my cosmology, because there's some things that I accept. There's some things that I can laugh at. There's something I see dogma and the organization of ideas for the benefit of power. You know, I could see things like that clearly now. Whereas I could see the organization of spiritual ideas for the benefit of community clearly too. And that's what I'm really attracted to. That's what I'm drawn to. That's why I'm drawn to the bears and the things that I'm drawn to. And I feel like I could take a lot of the principles that I learned and apply them in many different ways. So it's been a, and now I'm 41, I'll be 42 shortly. And so, yeah, that's my, I guess that's my backstory on growing up and finding spirituality.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've found that like in this community that we're in, I feel there are a lot of people that will have gone through this similar route of like finding different religions to like glean from, you know, and then make their own decision based on their own discernment of what things resonate for them. And that becomes kind of their cosmology and how they can continue on with their life. And like you said at the beginning, it's not like you've arrived or anything. We're always like pulling on threads. We're always like looking down different roads to figure out, oh, does that make sense? Oh, that's new information. That's kind of cool. Can I add that to my cosmology to make sense of something else that didn't make sense before, that sort of thing. So I think it's really cool. I like
hearing. Yeah, you know, it's funny because in a way, like they were saying things like, you have to arrive at these positions and it's just the way it is, and we said so. And at the time that, like, I didn't accept that, but now I can actually see the validity in some of those things, because a lot of the things that I accept now weren't things that I could read or have passed down to me. I needed to have the eyes to see them first. I would say that the only thing that distinguished between those two answers is that the intention of the person giving the answer, right? And the intention of the Freemason ring holder guy that's like, no, you just have to, you can be your own guy, but like, yeah, it'll make sense someday. and the intention of me also saying that point of view to myself now, you know, and knowing that my intention is much different, you know, so, and being able to, I guess, feel that's the only difference, and reacting to that, I guess.
So was that guy who showed you the ring, was he an active member of the church and he was just willing to just break it down for you right there and then? Or was he like, oh, I get it now and I'm not part of this, but I get what's going on?
He was an older guy. And I think that he was a fool, because I think that he was kind of like the type of person that, knowing what I know now about societies and Freemasons and stuff like that, he's the type of person that, like, you make it up to a certain point so that they get this like ego about themselves where they're like, oh, look at me, I, you know, I got the ring and I'm cool, and you don't know anything until you're in this brotherhood order. And once you come into the brotherhood order, then you'll see that, like, you know, the mayor and the bishop of this church and the bishop of the Catholic Church and blah blah blah, and all these people are in it, and then you'll know, right? And but also, they, like, I just also think that he was probably just like a very low level fool that just, you know, that they probably don't tell him anything either, and you know, why would you brag about that kind of stuff? unless you were kind of being foolish, right? So, yeah. To the uninitiated, right? So
yeah, it's like those who speak don't know and those who know don't speak. And it's also kind of like if you're like the initiated, like you're like, if you're this person who knows some stuff, you're not going to go woke rape somebody who doesn't know anything yet, because you don't, like, that's not appropriate. They may not have gone through the path or some things that they need to know before getting to what you're going to tell them. So you might as well just let them learn on their own. But yeah, it's funny that that guy did that. And it was kind of a good wake up call for you, I think, too. So sent you down a good rabbit hole.
Yeah, for sure. I know, especially because I'm like repelled by giant jewelry. Like, I just think it's so like I wouldn't want body. Like not on anybody else, but like, you know, I wouldn't, that doesn't appeal to me. Like, I don't want a big stupid ring on my hand.
You don't want the decoder ring? Exactly.
That's funny.
How did you come across Owen, because you brought that up? How did you find him and the bears and everything?
I've been listening to Made by Jim Bob for a while, and basically listening to his streams every day. And he, every once in a while, would talk about Owen, or like I was listening to Owen's stream, or Owen gave me the inspiration to start doing this. And I was really inspired by Jim Bob. So I was like, okay, who's he talking about? And then that's the other thing about the bears too, is like this whole idea of like, just to get biblical back again, is like not throwing pearls before swine, right? Like people have to kind of discover in their own ways. So like I've shared Owen and Jim Bob with one of somebody who I would used to call a good friend, and they immediately got banned for being a gamma. And I was like, oh yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. So man, that wasn't the right thing. So then I realized, okay, that was great, because then I realized that it's like, okay, this is something that, it's not this relationship I have with watching these things, and is it something I have to keep secret, or what do I do? But I was watching that, and then I started actually watching the streams at the in June 2020 when the George Floyd thing was going on, and I was like really aware of all of this, all of the spells, and I was just like, I had no pressure release, and other than like some Jim Bob streams and stuff like that. And I found one Owen stream, and one of the first ones, he was talking about like Wainel Sexton, the teacher of George Floyd, who had saved his art from, it was like, God, third grade or something like that, and the teacher's name was Wainel Sexton.
Oh yeah, we love Wainel Sexton on the Oversharing Show. We know her well.
Okay, good. I was just like, I remember it was June, and I was in my yard, I was in my garden, and I was just laughing my ass off, and it was just like great medicine, because
release, yes,
because I, you know, like, I was under a lot of pressure because I own a business and I have a storefront, and there was like these marches going on and all this shit. And I was just like, ah, I felt like kind of like a crazy person, because I could see things, but I didn't have the language or the coaching to be able to transmute what I saw into good, or into like, you know, humor and comedy, and like seeing these types of things is like what makes life fun and good and worth living. And not that like the negative, you know, like the inversion is like that, but I mean, like, it is what it is. So it's like, it's life. It's going to be there. There's always going to be these, like, these things. And so that's what I loved about Owen, is being able to show these patterns, because I see patterns too. And then also like just have the comedy of it. And I was like, I was totally hooked, and I was like, okay, so I can't wait for tomorrow. And then going, you know, and then realizing that, like, oh my gosh, there's a whole lexicon to these things. So I was like, okay, what is he talking about? Like rollerbladers? What does that mean?
Yeah, I joined the same time, like I started listening the same time you did approximately.
Okay.
Like that spring, summer of 2020. And I too, my friend had to tell me, because she's the one who told me, and I'm just like, what is a rollerblading incident? Like, what is that?
I got it because I got the context of it, but I was just like, but the joke wasn't on me yet. I was just like, okay, but no, I get it. It's like, it's funny. It's for us. And we have to say things like that sometimes, you know, and so, yeah, that was it. And then I got to the point when I was listening to Owen where like I was saying, I was like, I got to share this with my friends, like some of my friends that I think maybe think like me are going to like this. And then they didn't, or they got banned, or they like, you know, they revealed, this was all part of the lifting the veil. They were revealing like who they were. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's really cool that, that Owen and Jim Bob and these guys are also like litmus test for like my friends too. So like I can test them and like see, and you know what, how much more energy I want to start, you know, creating with so and so or whatever. So but then it got to there's the whole journey of like discovering a community like that, where you're like, then after that you start to feel isolated, or at least I did. I don't know if you do, but I did. I felt like, oh man, I feel like I'm hoarding all of this comedy gold, but I also can't share it.
That's tough. You're like, I want to share it with somebody.
It's yeah, so and then I see good. I saw what was going on, and I see other people, you know, sharing similar memes and stuff, and then they would get like annihilated, like as if like, you know, a mob like pulled each one of their arms and pulled their whole like body apart. And I'm like, okay, I don't want that to happen. And but I also working through the courage and truth and just holding my position, and then just letting it be what it is, which is a comedy release valve. And then one of the things that was a great blessing was the Bertaria documentary, because that way I could introduce it to my wife, who is now Mrs. Herbalist Bear, and then also the early comedy specials, you know, and let her see some of the really fun things. And actually, one of the fun ways that she really got interested in Owen, because it was always just like a podcast I'd listen to and laughed by myself because I always had my headphones in. And one of the things that was interesting to her was that for a particular week, he was picking on Aaron Rodgers, who was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, the team, the big team around where we are. And so that really interested her. And since then it's just been a great comedy, because it was a total curveball, because, you know, he was supposed to be the NFL player that stood up against the not taking the vaccine, but he did it in a cowardly way and lied. And but of course Owen picked on him for his you know, his preference for men and staying with men and stuff like that. It was just hilarious. Finding more community and going to meetups and meeting other bears, and then realizing that, like, wow, there's just so much to so much more wealth here than what's like what we see in the screen, or what I'm accessing, you know, for free, you know, in BitChute or whatever. So I really want to be part of that. I really want to contribute. And that was really the journey into jumping off and being like, okay, here I go. I gotta help with this community. I gotta help build it. I have my own vision that I can contribute, and gifts and resources that I can bring. And that's there. Here I am.
That's awesome. You were talking about your wife, and I wanted to know how you guys met.
So I play music, and
what do you play?
What's that?
What do you play? Any instruments?
Yeah, I play the guitar and I sing and I write songs. And I was in a band called The Midwest Beat, and we were touring in 2011. And we came to our touring manager, our booking manager, who's also the the guy who owns the label that put out our record. And so we came to his hometown, which is Bergamo, where I am now. And, you know, I got off the plane and had another day before we had our first show. And so he's just kind of showing us around. And we went to a little show at a park. And his friend, who was Serena, came. And I was like, oh, wow, who's that? And she always picks on me because she says it's like the chicken first impression, you know, like it was the first European girl that I saw. And so I was like, oh, who's that? I want
who's
that? And he's like, no. He's like, she's good. If you want to go with her, then you have to take her for life. And I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. And so just being charming and, you know, just liking her, and she ended up liking me. And then, you know, a few days later, I saw her again. A few days later, she got to see me play. And then we kissed and fell in love. And then for a few years, we traveled back and forth. She would come to the United States and stay with me for a couple of weeks. And then I'd go over here and stay with her for a couple of weeks. And then we got married. And we just actually played a show together last night. And it was cool because it was the first time that we played music publicly since October 2019.
Okay, and your band.
What's that?
Your band or you and your wife?
Just me, yeah, just.
Oh, he got off. No.
I think he was talking about him and his wife, but yeah, I was going to ask too. Maybe his wife is in that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I love it. He goes to Italy in the first.
I know. Boom. Right?
Yeah. Now all the Bears are going to want to go to Italy.
And I was going to say, like, it's very synced to my story because, you know, Cody's a bass player, I'm a vocalist, and, you know, and we're traveling back and forth to see each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's very similar.
Awesome.
Well, it's too bad
he might come back, and I could use this. Let's do a little commercial, give a shout out to the chat. Hey, chat, how you guys doing out there? Thank you so much for coming. We had such a great time last week in the chat with you guys, or the week before. I'm sorry, we've recorded. Oh, here he comes. Okay.
Here we are.
There
I was
we
just
are.
Giving a shout out to our future chat when it's there. So.
Yeah, so you cut off right when I asked you about the band. Is it your band or is it you and your wife?
Yeah, so my the band that I was in broke up. And so last night we were just playing together as a duet, which we have done a few times. She's popular here in Italy because when we met, she was an Italian pop star. She had like an MTV. She like opened for The Cure and stuff like that, and like
so she's a vocalist, and like
she's got a great voice, she's got a really good voice.
That's
and
really funny.
She's a singer, and then she started singing, and like she gave that up, the pop stuff, and started singing more like country, like turn of the century country stuff. And so yeah, we just do like duet songs together, like songs that we write, country stuff, Americana, whatnot. And
really fun.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was the first time that we got to play together since publicly since 2019, I think I mentioned. But so that was cool. It was a really nice, I don't know. It was really cool because that's how we started. That's how we met, through music. Through here in this town, and with our old friends that were all there, and so that it was just really cool. But on the other hand, like I had lost my voice the week leading up to our thing, so I wasn't sure if I could sing. And I also thought, I think this is a kind of a sign. Like you could probably hear my voice is a little raspy now. I was like, I think this might be a sign that like I shouldn't be like singing like some of these songs that I had wrote, you know, like I had wrote a lot of these songs, you know, prior to my complete overhaul of my worldview. So, so I think, I got the signal that like, you know, I'll tighten up your voice for you, for this show, but it's time to start writing some different music that actually, expresses how I feel now. And not, you know, from a different point of view.
Wow. So. That's amazing. That's
what was that? Yeah, no, I love that. What was that worldview like then, the opening and that shift? What was that? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so that was, no, that was all, you know, March 2020 stuff, you know, all of that. That whole thing, I just like apocalyptic lifting of the veil, seeing that I had been putting a lot of lip service about, you know, or just seeing that other people had been doing lip service about their own worldviews. Like, for example, going to a yoga class 1 week and they're being like, duh, the breath is sacred, blah, blah, blah. And then the next week they'd be like, you put on your mask and, you know, and being like that, oh, you were just doing lip service for that. You didn't actually mean it. And then examining that type of stuff in myself. And then, but also being honest with that and being really brutally honest about that. And being also in the position to stand in that and say, like, you know, operating a business, a public business in a cool neighborhood where everyone's so cool that they want you to do exactly what they say, and I'm not doing it. And I'm not doing it. And I'm doing it the way that I think is right, which is against popular opinion, but I think it's that way. And then, so having myself tested through challenge and through the fires of you know, standing and greeting somebody when they come in the door with a smile on my face and not judging, because I run an herb shop and my intention and you know, I make medicine. People come to me for medicine and I meet them
where they are
and I meet them as a witness. And I'm not I like, it's great for me to practice my non-judgment, and just that's when I get insights about when I work with people one-on-one. If I start to project my own you know, oh, I think it might be this, I think it might be that, then I stop getting the clues for my investigation, and they keep revealing themselves if I just sit and wonder and not have that judgment. And the same can be said for just minimal interaction. When somebody comes in and I have my smile on my face and I say, hey, welcome, let me know if you need anything. It's just a casual transaction, but for elderberry syrup for something like that, you know, as opposed to something that somebody specifically comes to see us for, which is also something that we do. So anyway, having that kind of going through that, seeing, and then also just really realizing the worldview through the terrain and having all of that exposed through the work of, you know, Dr. Kaufman and I really like Alex Zeck, and I got to meet him and become friends with him. And I really appreciate his, he's a young guy that explores a lot through just asking questions about logic and stuff like that. And I really like that. And, just seeing all the great information being taken away from the public and being like, okay, that's a clue for me to follow. And where did that go? And you know, is it misdirection or is it not? You know, but knowing that that's the type of place that I like to explore. And so then also in that period of time, having to know myself through my studies in the law and being like, learning how to make affidavits, learning how to make all kinds of legal documents, put them into the public record, have the backlash of my entry of, you know, as a man into the public record, for example. Like, you know, I'm making a stand for myself, but it's caught on in the press that, like, oh, Kyle Denton, owner of Tippy Canoe Herbs, and like bringing my business into this, you know, has this particular point of view, and then having the backlash through all of the, you know, neighborhood chit chat and gossip and whatnot. But having our people that support us continue to, and knowing that standing for what's true will always be the best possible thing. So having the opportunity to actually put that into running that program, you know, and that was my, I guess that was the sharpening of the worldview and opening. And it was, so it was, it wasn't a aha, it was a turn the page of the chapter into the next chapter and getting to, and just keep turning it and being like, oh, wow, this is getting thick, you know? So it's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I believe you were on Crow 777, right?
Yeah, they've had me on twice.
Okay. We'll find, if you remember the episodes, let us know. If not, we'll find them. How did they find you, and how did they get you on?
It was connected with that. I was, my wife was preparing for a home birth, and which she had in February of last year. Just going through all the legal episodes, also wanting to learn about how to stand my ground for mandates and crap like that, as a public person, as a business owner. And so just asking, you know, emailing Rose every few days, hey, Rose, can I get the documents from this show? Hey, Rose, can I get the documents? Because the guest would be like, hey, I have documents. And then Crow would just say, ask Rose. And so I kept emailing Rose, and I felt like I was kind of bugging her, but I wasn't. I know I wasn't, because she's so polite and she's right on the ball, and she's like, you know, answered my email immediately, and she was really, really sweet. So, so I just said, hey, you know, Rose, you've been such a tremendous help. Like, I really can't thank you enough, because this stuff is so valuable. So I just wanted to offer you a gift certificate for our shop. And I gave her a gift certificate, and she got some stuff, and then she got some more stuff, and then she got some more stuff and more stuff. And then she was like, called me one time and was like, this is really healing me. It's really helping me. Just like some of the best things that I've had in a really long time, for some of the things I've been going through. And so we just started talking and having a relationship, and then she was like, you got to come on Crow. And I was like, all right. Okay, awesome. Thank you. I would love to, because that's one of my favorite shows, and I know how like big of a deal it is, and it was really, really fun. So and so I really love Rose, I love Jason, and yeah, I like Crow too. He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
I keep in touch with those two.
Nice.
And you got to meet Jason at the festival.
Yeah, I got to meet him in person. So I got to see his. He is a bear in real life.
Yeah, he's a big teddy bear.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we had Rose on actually in November, I think it was, right, Sharon?
Yeah, November.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that was a good show. Really good. So I guess, unless there's anything else you want to talk about, I wanted to know a little bit about your shop. And like, you were, I think you mentioned like consultations, and I mean, sorry, you didn't mention that. I was gonna ask.
Yeah, that's right.
Do consultations.
Yeah. So I got an herb shop. It's in Milwaukee. Come in if you want. If you're around, because it's a beautiful place. We have one of the few businesses like this in America, where we actually prepare and make the medicine that we stock on our shelves.
Amazing.
So there's maybe five or six places like that in America. And so we go out into the woods, or we work with local farmers, and we're in our garden, and we gather the plants, and I have a commercial kitchen in the back, and turn them into all different kinds of medicine, and then we put that on our shelf. And then I have a whole bunch of supplies that I can make custom formulas with and things like that. So that's the thing. I'm the community herbalist. People will come to me and they'll say, I got this thing wrong. Mm-hmm. And I like to reframe the way that they say things like that. Hopefully they can leave my experience with me thinking that it's not actually wrong, but it's a sign that everything's working just right. It's just a alarm that needs to be addressed. But if you're not in the area, then just look for me online, tippecanoeherbs.com. I'm trying to build up more stuff on my YouTube channel. So I'm trying to post a lesson there every day or two now. So that's tippecanoeherbs. And then I do classes, lots of classes. So I'd like to teach other people about what I do, how to make medicine, how to work with people. And if you're interested in, you know, a particular thing that you would like to have some feedback on from my point of view, then that's something I'd be happy to help you with too. You can find that through the website, tippecanoeherbs.com. And let's see. Yeah. And oh yeah, check out, you know, once a month we're doing this fun thing on the Interverse show too. So that's what, another place that we're laying down some stuff to. We're doing the,
the Vibrant.
Yeah. We're doing the Vibrant Wednesday, one of the Wednesdays. So he does so much content, yeah, but you can look for past episodes of that too.
And what was that called? What were you guys doing? Talking about astrology with herbalism.
Yeah. Astro-herbalism.
Herbalism.
Are there certain herbs that line up with somebody's sun sign that would be beneficial for them?
Definitely. Yes.
Ooh, can you tell us about cancer a little bit?
Yeah. So cancer, primary water. It's the, you know, it's in the summer, so it's around the solstice. So it's a cardinal direction. So there's a lot of, in when like the sun is in cancer, regardless of if it's your sun or not, when we're in cancer, there's a lot of heat. So, also cancer is like this particular part of the body. So Gemini is the lungs and the arms, and cancer is right here. So there's a lot of herbs that have to do with like the watery parts of the heart, the watery parts of the emotional heart, protecting the emotional boundaries through the heart. So, and then also just like revitalizing the water of the body. So aloe vera comes to mind, hawthorn berries.
You just spoke of that on your channel, right?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
I saw that one.
Let's see. St. John's wort could be in that department too. And Monarda, which is also known as bee balm. It's a spicy plant. You could say, I could put it in a couple of ways. You could say things that promote the rays of the cancer sun. So right now we're kind of opposite the cancer sun. So it might be a good idea to work with some sympathetic herbs of cancer. And then, you know, when we come back around to cancer in the zodiac, we might work with other herbs that are pacifying of the intensity of that particular sign, wherever that is. And so that's why aloe might not be great right now, but it would be more appropriate in the summertime, for example. And things like St. John's wort, which blooms at the solstice, in this summer solstice, would be really beneficial for promoting that return to the height of the sun and the expression of the emotional body in a time like right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So St. John's wort would be used now as opposed to in the summer.
Well, you could use it at any time, but in order to figure out if it would be the right time or a right person or things like that, there would be all these multiple considerations, including,
right.
Including, you know, are you the type of cancer sun person who gets really, really melancholic at this time of year, you know, because of the height of the sun and really, you know, just feel like emotionally, detached, then that would be a good one for you. And if you're like me and just need a lot more light in your life always, then I like to work with Saint, because I'm an Aquarius. So I like to, I just feel kind of cold and isolated a lot anyway. So,
okay. You're an Aquarius. You and Adam, our friend Adam, and you guys are probably around the same age too, maybe just a few years difference, but, that's funny, Aquarius. Anyway, I feel like you guys have some things in common. Like if you, he just had a baby too, and he's into the law and into like wants to do the, like the, tried to do the home birth, but he had complications. So if you ever want to check that episode out, we just did a couple episodes ago with Adam.
Cool. But yeah, definitely.
I think you guys would, I'll tell him to watch your episode too.
Cool. Yeah. I'm always looking for new friends.
Yeah. 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 I think you guys would.
Yeah.
Would,
you'll love Adam.
Cool.
But like what you were saying just reminded me of something that you mentioned on your stream with, and I didn't get to finish it, but your stream with Michelle, Michelle's Healing Home, episode 5, you talked about like not making medicinal claims, and it reminded me of something that Brendan and I always say on the show. Well, not always, but we say it regularly, that like there's no like collective answer or no collective solution to everyone. Like everyone's unique. Everyone's in a unique space and time and needs different things at different times for their own unique self. So
totally.
I like that. What about Libra? Go ahead. And then you tell me about
Libra.
You were going to say something sign? Before. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Is that your tropical sign? Tropical sun sign?
Yeah.
So yeah, Libra is ruled by Venus. So Venus is the archetype of, you know, beauty and all things beauty, you know, just like senses, sensuality, and enjoying nice things. It's an air sign though. Unlike Taurus, which is the other Venusian sign, which is more of the, I like nice furniture and nice things, and the air sign, the air sign Venus.
Cody is a Taurus.
Is what's that?
My boyfriend's a Taurus.
Oh, really? Yeah. So that's a really good match. And the Venusian Libra is about like matching really great ideas and having, and also I think Libras are great mediators for. Between groups, like probably you're probably really good at relating to another group of people that is completely different than us, you know? And
I was just on the Weaving Spider's Welcome. And like, I was saying some stuff like that. Like I can talk to this person and have a totally cool conversation and like be cool with them and like be friends with them. And then I can do it with this other person, but those two will never mix.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, so you're diplomatic. I'm like, I suppose I never thought about it that way.
Yep. And so Libra rules the kidneys because there's the balance. The kidneys are the organs that are, there's the two balances there. And they're the organs that say, should I hold on to this thing or should I let it go? They make a lot of decisions. We have the energetic decision-making is done in the kidneys. And so the kidneys can also be responsible for like not being able to let things go or holding on too much to things behind us. So a lot of Libra remedies are really balancing for the kidneys. Whether they are things like goldenrod, which is a great diuretic, but also blooms at the time of year of Libra. And I just think like nettles, things that are really beautiful too, like Queen Anne's lace, a great one that looks just kind of like a doily, you know, it just looks like something fancy. And I think that's a great one for the Libra too.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Yeah. I appreciate that too. What you were saying. I also, you know, like I said, I don't make claims because you're right. It's, cause it might be different. Some things might be different for one person than for another. And even in stages, like for example, I was just sick. And so the medicine that was right for me when my illness was my sinus congestion is going to be different than when my illness moves down into my throat. And so just like a few days later, you know, the thing that would be the most beneficial for me, I have to track that through its progress. Just like I can extrapolate that microcosm of healing journey from a week and put that overlaying healing journey from decades and say the thing that would be right for me in this particular time of my life is not the right thing at this other time of my life. Absolutely. And so claiming that, if I say I have this particular, illness or disease, and then making a claim that this is the right thing for it, instead of evaluating and seeing how things shift and seeing how things don't shift, and or all of that, all of those different expressions of movement, and then just trying to balance them, and then also the thing about medicinal claims too is that a lot of times they're making claims about what they suppress. And that's not my philosophy either. I like to like Amanda Vollmer's expression, which is express, don't suppress. And I try to abide by that in my practice as well. And so I want to say thank you for letting me express myself getting all this stuff out and not suppressing it and being able to share that with your listeners too. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. And I had one more thing to say. I was going to say, like, I've gone through times in my life where, I went the whole like, oh, well, I want to do like supplements because supplements are good for you and whatnot. So like, I would end up going through like, I would have this like whole like thing of like, well, one of each of these or whatever, right? And that would be what I took every meal or like even once a day or whatever. And all these like pills, right, of supplements. And it's like, I would do that for a long time. And then I'd like forget about them. And somehow like I'd stop doing it. But it's like, I realized over time that it's like, your body doesn't need all those things all the time, the same stuff all the time, and I started just like listening to my body and just letting my body tell me when it needed something. And like, if my body's going to break down, and like you said, it's an alarm, it's going to tell me if something hurts or if something, doesn't feel right, then I'll look into something that's going to maybe help me address that. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking time and coming on to the Oversharing Show. Really enjoyed this one. I'm going to have to go back and listen a couple times. I'm excited.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, it's all nice right. To meet you, Brandon. It's really nice to see you again, Sharon.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you too. Awesome. Well, big shout out to our chat. Thank you guys so much for hanging out and coming every Thursday night. We do these at 8:33 p.m. You can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. If you'd like to support us, click on the Oversharing tab and it has all the ways to support us. But like we always say, the best way to support us is to just come to the show. And if you can, make the premieres, or if not, just leave comments, thumbs up, all that kind of stuff. And what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally being a Karen.
That's right.
That's right. I almost messed up and said the old thing. That's right.
Yeah. No, all right, I guys. Know. I
figured. See you next week. Later.
Bye.